Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Hello again, folks, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. Today is February 17th. This is your host, Evan Basilik, and we are doing episode number 366. We'll be talking to Gaurav Malhotra about Azure Purview. But first, let's go ahead and get to everybody else that's here. We got Cynthia, Kendall, and Kale. What do y'all have for news?
Yeah, I got a few this week. And before we get started, I just want to say I think New York has turned into Antarctica. We've had feet of snow and more keeps coming. So whoever's sending the snow, please stop. We have enough. Like
Kale, I think you need to think about us Texans down here that never.
Yeah, you guys have snow and no power. So yeah,
whose water's off? Yeah. We're surviving, but yeah, Texans do not know what's going on right now, so definitely keep us in your prayers.
Anyway, to Azure-related news, a couple things here. One of them, there's an Apache, for those who are using doing a lot of big data work, and who's not, in Azure, there's actually a Spark connector for SQL Server here that's been announced. I think this was open sourced last year, like mid last year. And basically there's a nice write up here about how that can help you when you're, you know, ingesting data or processing your big data workloads using SQL Server in conjunction with Apache Spark. So really cool kind of thing there for people who are doing big data. There's one here about Azure Arc that we'll drop in the notes. I can't remember if we brought people on the podcast about Arc before, but just for listeners who might not be aware, this is a technology that allows on-premises, hybrid, and multi-cloud type scenarios in kind of a unique way with Azure. And this is a nice write-up about what some customers are using it for. Ferguson, which is a plumbing supply in the United States, they have a nice write-up about what they're doing. There's also one here from Africa Talking, which is a mobile and voice messaging service and those kind of things. So it's interesting to see these scenarios where the hybrid, the extension of Azure, rather, being enabled by Azure Arc, which is a relatively new, you know, to the family, you know, of Azure. So it's cool to see people already building good solutions on that. There's one here about future-proofing your network with Azure for operators, which is really cool. I believe this kind of goes in conjunction with our 5G announcements that we had made before around this new technology for these hyperscale networks and these mobile and edge computing networks. So this is a nice write-up here from one of our CVPs about some of the principles that we use around that and how Microsoft's 5G vision is, how that will integrate with our cloud services and some of the capabilities we have at the edge. And then the last one I have, and I'll pause here for a second because I wasn't sure if this was in last week's because I wasn't on the podcast, but this announcement about our expansion in the southern region in Georgia. So there's been an announcement about some new data centers and new presence for Microsoft, a lot of Azure stuff in the Georgia area, specifically Fulton and Douglas counties. So just wanted to call that one out.
Yeah, no, that one's super exciting. I mean, we've got there's an engineering site that we're building down there. And I mean, the number of people we're hiring down there and that was prior to this announcement. It's just crazy how fast the site has grown. We will have outgrown. So I go down there. I used to pre-COVID go down there every other week, and we will have outgrown not just the site we were in before COVID hit, but we will have outgrown the site that we were going to move in to, and we'll be moving into our new site, which will be part of this new stuff that's announced as well. So yeah, no, super exciting. I might actually get to see a data center. I've never been on the tour for any of ours because there's none locally where I am. So I'm excited about that part.
But we've all heard about the virtual tour because I think every time we say we haven't been to one, somebody's like, "Hey, there's a virtual one," and I'm like, "No, I want to see this in person."
Yes, the videos are great, but it is nice to see it in person, I have heard. So, okay, cool. Cynthia, looks like you
Yeah, and one for integration of application insights with work items for Azure DevOps and GitHub that is in public preview. And the way you think about it is that you can now create your Azure DevOps or GitHub work items directly from App Insights, which means that you can then collect like logs or timestamps or whatever information you're interested in. And then from there, then your work item has all the details. And you can also create different templates on what information you feel is necessary for these work items, upload those templates, and you can also share those templates with other people in your org.
That's cool. Great. Well, so thanks for the wrap up. At this point, Gaurav, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do for Microsoft?
Hi, everyone. I'm Gaurav. I'm a group product manager in the Azure Purview team at Microsoft. So what I want to do today is essentially walk you through a new service called Azure Purview in data governance space that was announced last year, actually on December 3rd, by our CEO Satya, and kind of walk you through on what we are doing in that governance space and how you can essentially use that to maximize the business value of data in your organizations.
So this is cool. The central problem, right, that these orgs see is data is expanding like crazy, mm-hmm. right? And so is the goal of Purview, I mean, just based off the word, that sort of implies that you have some visibility into where it's being used and what's being done with it. Is that where this is going? Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah. So as you would know, right, with the digitization of the economy, data is the most strategic asset. And yet we find that working with customers, that 3/4 of that data is still not being analyzed. And part of that reason is, as you mentioned, data is all over the place. It's in your hybrid data state, on-prem sources, cloud sources, even in cloud, multi-cloud, whether it's Google, Amazon, Microsoft, or SaaS sources, operational sources. So it's hard to kind of get all of that data together and then to make sense of that data. And today, a lot of companies are doing that in a manual way. And with Azure Purview, what we are saying is that we are laying the foundations of effective data governance by making that discovery of that data very easy that customers can do in an automated manner for them.
So how would I?
Can you peel that? Sorry, Evan. Yeah. So can you, like, just from a high level perspective, just like peel back the layers of what this looks like technically? Like, I understand kind of the whole story behind, because I see like Azure Data Lake and then Stream Analytics. Like, I can kind of start picturing those. Like, where does this fit in? So I'm just kind of curious. Is it implemented in like a DevOps way, or you like deploy this to your systems? And I'm just kind of curious. I haven't looked into it. This is the first time I really heard about it.
Yeah, so Azure Purview is a managed Azure service, which means that you can essentially provision an Azure Purview account. And then from a data discovery standpoint, what we have is scanners that are essentially able to scan your hybrid data state. So today we have 25 plus sources and file formats that span almost every Azure source, Power BI. We are starting our multi-cloud journey with Amazon S3. And we have on-prem sources like SQL Server, Teradata, SAP instances, Oracle. And as I mentioned, we are on a very aggressive journey to double and triple these connectors with the industry-leading partnerships that we have. So our scanners are able to scan these data sources and kind of build that data map. And think of that data map as a graph where, as we are scanning, we are capturing three key pieces of information. We are capturing the technical metadata so that we are able to tell what column names, what column types, what description you have. We are able to capture the lineage information to say that this particular table is feeding into this transformation process and generating this particular data downstream, right? So that you can use it to do impact analysis or root cause analysis. And by the way, you can see that both at the object level as well as the column level. The second key piece of information that we are capturing is what we call as the semantic metadata. So as these scanners are running, they are classifying the data to say, oh, this column is a social security number, or this column is an EU tax file number. And we have 100 plus that we ship out of the box. And then we are working to double, triple that again in the upcoming months. And not only you can use those out-of-the-box classifiers, but you can define your own as well. So you could come in and say that as an organization, I have this transaction ID column, and I can represent that using a data dictionary with a set of values. And if you discover that as you are scanning my data state, please tag it as a transaction ID. Or you could represent that as a regular expression and specify confidence levels, and then we'll be able to essentially do that as well. And then the third piece of information is what we call as the business metadata, right? That you're essentially able to stamp business terms onto your assets in the in data map, which is the graph that I talked about. And then from a consumption standpoint, you can use those business terms to search and browse the what we call as the Purview catalog, which is essentially an application on top of our data map, which is part of our platform.
Hey, Gaurav, I was just looking up our podcast archive, and I noticed that you came on the show almost over 5 years ago. In episode 101, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. And even then, you were passionate about Data Lake and Data Factory. So it's obviously very passionate in this whole topic area. How did Microsoft make this journey, though, to come up with Purview? Like, what was the, what was the use cases that they were seeing maybe with their existing data services that Azure has, that led you to say, hey, you know, we need this, right? This is what customers are asking for.
So this journey actually started with our 1P effort. And when I say 1P, internal to Microsoft, as we were becoming GDPR compliant back in 2016-17, we had to essentially scan our internal data estate, which is our internal sources, to be able to catalog that data, to be able to service that data to our stakeholders, and to be able to essentially satisfy the GDPR regulation around data subject rights. Right. So what we realized working on that effort was that there is a potential for these services to be able to use by our external customers and partners as well. And that's where we started taking that particular infrastructure and started to work towards releasing an Azure service, which you saw, which you see today as Azure Purview. So one of the things that is key from that is that our learnings from our internal Microsoft journey, that this particular service is battle tested and built for scale, because we have been taking those components and working to make them release on Azure so that we can essentially use the distributed nature of Azure for performance and for scale up.
Can we think go ahead, Kale.
No, go ahead, Cynthia. Sorry, I didn't see you.
Can we think about Azure Purview kind of in parallel to Azure Arc, where we're also trying to look at, or well, in Azure Arc instance managed, but in Purview kind of see the data across multiple places, because both of these services kind of look like a aggregator of all that you have.
So you can think of what we are doing with Azure Purview as a start in terms of laying that foundations for data governance, is to be able to do data discovery, right? And that data discovery can happen in Azure, in Amazon, going forward in GCP or on-prem sources as well. Now, the way to think about Azure Arc and Purview is, like, for example, in Purview, for well-known hierarchies in Azure, like AWS, you could come and just register your subscription, and we will be automatically able to scan your subscription to say, these are the storage accounts, these are the Cosmos DBs, these are the SQL Azure databases, and bring them under the umbrella of governance with Purview. And with Azure Arc, because it is installed in your on-prem environment in future, because it understands what is deployed in your on-prem data estate, we'll be able to use that information and kind of provide that to our consumers to say, oh, we detected this in your on-prem instance. Do you want to, again, bring that under the governance umbrella with Azure Purview or not? So that's kind of thinking that we are going towards. But as of today, you can imagine that today customers are able to register their on-prem SQL Server Teradata instance with what we call as the self-hosted integration runtime. And think of that as an agent. And if customers are today using Data Factory or Synapse to do data movement, and for that matter, the entire data integration aspect, and using those, they are familiar with the self-hosted integration runtime, which they have been using for data movement. And now we are extending that self-hosted integration runtime to do metadata scanning and classification with Azure Purview as well.
This is super cool. I had a couple questions. One specifically around lineage of data, right? So as it comes through, many times with customers, right, like a piece of data might not be considered like highly sensitive or secure, or like you know, something we have to really lock down. But if you combined it with other elements, then it heightens it, right? So if you take these couple elements and put them together, now it creates something that is like super high security and we shouldn't expose. Do you have like ways to kind of classify that kind of stuff so that as certain data gets combined, it could raise the classification of it or something?
Yes. So we are actually fully integrated with Microsoft Information Protection Labels, right? So if you are an Office customer and you use that, what we call as MIP labels internally, to apply, and if you go to your email today, you can apply confidential, highly confidential, and those are nothing but Microsoft Information Protection Labels. And what we are doing with Azure Purview is now extending those labels to essentially extend to the Azure ecosystem. So you could go and now say, target these labels to a SQL column or to a Cosmos DB collection or to a managed instance or to an on-prem SQL server and kind of apply this label taxonomy to those as well. And these labels are nothing but an aggregation of the classifications, as you mentioned, right? So you could come and define a rule to say that if my data is classified social security number and PII, apply a label confidential on it. So this whole taxonomy is going to flow to your entire data estate. And ultimately, the first part is, again, the flow of of the label, and then the enforcement pieces will follow after that.
That's awesome. And then the second piece I had is you keep mentioning about like scanning someone's network, whether it be like on-premises or cloud assets, and this is a managed service. So just thinking from a customer's perspective, where's that data going? Is that going back to Microsoft? Is that something I could put in my subscription so I know for sure that all that scanning stuff is only with me, you know?
That's a great question, Kale. So essentially think of Purview that we have a data map, which I talked about as part of the Purview platform, where we are storing the business metadata, the technical metadata, and the semantic metadata. So it's metadata and not data that we are storing, right? And then when we are scanning and classifying, then obviously for classification, we need a sample of data. So we don't scan your entire data set. We just take a sample of the data to apply the classification, and then we discard the data. We never store the data in our service. Okay. And then in terms of data sovereignty needs, we have a data map region that our service is deployed in, which is today live in a bunch of hero regions and some hub regions, and we are continuously expanding that the region availability. And then we have a scanning service underneath us, which today is live in 16 plus regions around the world, almost in every geography. So once you are trying to scan and classify the data for classification, we automatically use the data scanning service in the region where your data is, so that we can guarantee that your data does not leave geographic boundaries.
What you mentioned earlier, Garv, you talked about getting ready to start, either start scanning or you're already scanning S3. And the goal of this is to democratize this. So you're scanning all these different data sources, regardless of where they are, on-prem, somebody else's cloud. So let's say I'm, somebody that has data in another cloud in another format. Is there a way that I can onboard the sort of the ingestion for that, or like how does a team, somebody reach out and say, hey, I want you to onboard service XYZ and data type ABC, what, because obviously you guys have a long list you got to get to, but yep. Somebody's got to sort of prioritize some of that.
So there are two ways, right? As I mentioned, you can create a connection to your Amazon S3 account and tell us that this is the scan I want to do. And when I say scan, you're essentially telling us that, oh, I want to scan this Amazon S3 bucket or a bunch of buckets. So meaning you can scope your scans. Then you can, you tell us that these are the file types I want to scan in that Amazon S3 account, whether it is XLS, all doc types, Parquet, ORC, GZIP. And not only that, you can define custom types, because a lot of organizations that we work with have custom extensions like .cust, and internally they are not nothing but a CSV file. So you can create that custom extension and tell us that if your scanner detects a .cust file, treat it as a CSV file, so that our scanners, as they are scanning, they're able to recognize that. And then you tell our scanner to say, as you are scanning the data, apply these 100 plus classifications or the custom classifications that you have defined and the frequency that you want the scan to run. That's the only thing that you do. And it's a truly serverless architecture, because you are just coming and registering your source, setting up your scan, and then we will spin up the infrastructure, scale it up and down to give you the best in class performance.
Okay, so just to make sure I understood, so you guys certainly have to do some work on the server side to say, hey, we can scan this type of data, text file or, you know, ADLS or S3 bucket. But if I have my own sort of specialized data that's in there, I can build these, you know, I guess basically mappings, right? Yes. So that any format really that I have in there, as long as you read the base one, then I can do for my own service at that point.
Yeah, okay, we great. Call it as setting up a scan rule set as part of the scan that you are configuring. So yes, you'll be able to define your custom file extensions and do that as well.
Awesome, great.
And eventually, Gaurav, what does the user experience look like? Like what, like is there some sort of, like a dashboard or an IDE or something where they can go and play with this metadata?
Yeah, so just like any Azure service, you'll provision your Purview account. And once you provision, we have this experience called Purview Studio. So you launch your tile that says launch Purview Studio, and you land up into this web experience that we provide for you to essentially define your scans, consume information from the Purview catalog, define your business glossaries, and also from a data officer, like we are targeting data engineers, business users, data analysts, but also the data officers and security officers, right? So you could come and see insights into your data state. So you can get a bird's eye view of your data state to see how the data is distributed across your entire data state. Or you could come in and see that how are my business terms distributed across assets in the Purview catalog, or from a compliance admin standpoint to look at the sensitive data insights to see that, oh, in my in data state, I have these classifications have been applied, and you could apply classifications in different domains like personal, government. And you can start from these top level views and go all the way to the actual data set, like a container or file where these classifications were applied. So super useful from a customer standpoint to gain those insights into their data state.
So two last questions, unless anybody else has any others. One, you know, you said this was announced in December. Can customers can they go provision this today? Is it GA yet, or is it still preview at this point?
Yeah, currently we are in public preview and we are live in Azure portal. You can provision and start to use it and start to understand the use cases that it solves right now and look at our roadmap on where we are working towards. So it's fully available. Our documentation is live. And during this time, public preview time frame, we are running some special offers in terms of you can scan your entire Power BI tenant or SQL Server free of cost. So today we support this capability where you can scan your Power BI tenant to catalog all your reports, dashboards. So all of that is available for customers to try out and start to, you know, get their hands dirty with it.
Yeah, okay, great.
So Azure Purview is in public preview. Say that fast a few times for me, please.
You know, if I say that five times, my tongue pulls over.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Great. Well, you know, Gaurav, this is awesome. Any last sort of remaining things you want to leave the audience with?
Yeah, I would just encourage the audience to try this out. You can go to aka.ms, try Azure Purview to start to play with it, learn about it, understand the use cases that we are after. And thank you for this opportunity to for inviting me on the show.
Yeah, great. Thanks. We'll have you back. You know, it doesn't have to be another 5 years at this point. You know, reach out to us. Well, you know, if it's something you're happy to have you on. This is great. Cool. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. And, you know, to the audience, we will talk to everybody next week. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.